second, you insure the thing. I don't need to walk around in circles, 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 walk around in.
Circles by the band Soul Coughing from their very, very good album El Oso. Unfortunately, Soul Coughing no longer exists. However, if you like their sound, I would highly recommend that you check out Haughty Melodic by their former lead singer Mike Doughty, who now has a solo career. I think that album was released in 2005 and has a number of exceptional songs on it. Probably, for me at least, highlighted by Unsingable Name, I Hear the Bells, and Looking at the World from the Bottom of a Well. However, you know, talking about music, well, I'm using this platform to talk about music a little bit, that's not really the reason we're here. The reason we're here is to talk about Notre Dame football. And here we sit, 4 games into the season, and we are 3-1. I think a lot of us probably thought we'd be about at this point, at this, you know, this juncture in the season, but we're still a little disappointed by how we got here, you know, watching that a very winnable Michigan game kind of slip through our fingers. In any case, the win over Michigan State certainly was a big win for us. Regardless of how good Michigan State's season turns out, that still is a tough, hard-nosed football team, and we largely managed the game, ultimately, and came out with the win, despite not playing very good football. The 17-13 win, I'd characterize it as dull, even though I think that's pretty much what we all expected going into the game, a relatively low-scoring affair, given that it was taking the field were two offenses that were allergic to the end zone and two defenses that are probably best characterized as solid in the case of Notre Dame to possibly national caliber in the case of Michigan State. You know, they have very good units back to front. Defensive line, the linebackers are a top five unit across the country, and they have a very solid secondary as well. However, a lot of people were dissatisfied with the game. Certainly not with the outcome, I wouldn't think. The win is something that we certainly shouldn't sneer at right now. But I think that a lot of the discontent from the game comes from that offensive performance, where we looked pretty anemic and one-dimensional, where we seemed to be either running inside zone plays that were stuffed or running into our own blockers. A little bit of stretch play that we saw, at least at the end of the game, that, you know, was stopped for no gain, or fades. We didn't see a lot of middle intermediate routes, no screen game to speak of. We saw a couple wrinkles, I suppose, with Tavares running the end around, but for the most part, you know, we seemed very one-dimensional. I think a lot of the credit for that actually goes to Mark D'Antonio. I think that it was very clear that he walked into the game saying that, you know, as good as their receivers might be, we want the ball in their quarterback's hands as much as possible. And so his game plan pretty much was to single up on the outside and then have his defensive backs clutch and grab jerseys as much as they could, you know, daring effectively the referees to call pass interference on every play, which of course they're not going to do. And hopefully he was going to get away from the game successfully as a result. And it almost worked for him. Certainly in the first half, there weren't a ton of pass interference penalties that were called. There were some that were missed. In the second half, that percentage of pass interference penalties went up, which is also a good thing considering that the number of completions we had went down significantly. And, well, that's about the story of the game. It was very similar to watching a Louisville basketball game, I'd say, where Pitino really has his players play physical, really daring the referees to call fouls, and if they don't and you get away with it, well, you really stifle the other team. And so offensively, I think that's a lot of what was going on. We did see a lot of man on the outside, single deep safety kind of looks, and that led to the somewhat inordinate number of deep fades that were thrown to our receivers. So certainly it was frustrating to watch, but it worked just well enough to get us the win. Where do we go from here, though? That's the question offensively. And I'm not exactly sure if we have an offensive identity yet this year. That's a little frustrating at this, about a not about exactly a third of the way through the season, and we are still at a running back by committee phase where it looks like everybody does something decently, but nobody does everything well enough to have a lot of running backs, or one or two running backs in the field. We're still largely splitting carries. From a receiver standpoint, we're coming around. We got a lot of talent there. I'm not that concerned. Our tight ends for, well, Troy displays a lot of potential in terms of catching the football and running with it, but he's been a little bit inconsistent as a blocker, and the same goes for Ben Koyak and Alex Welch. Our offensive line has been exceptional pass blocking, and playing against Michigan State was no different and very impressive considering the talent that they put on the field and the defensive scheme they put on the field, but they haven't generated a lot of push along the offensive line, which I think is leading to our running woes. I mean, I think that's one of the reasons why we're just not running the football because we don't believe that we can. I don't know how fair that is. My very cursory examination of the run game indicates that we're continuously doing better week after week in various phases of run blocking. Early on, we weren't doing a good job getting to the second level, for instance, and now we seem to be doing a better job doing that. A lot of our woes come from the fact, I think, that Christian Lombard is still adapting to the guard position. Very, very talented offensive lineman, admittedly, but he hasn't been able to pull very well, and we're just struggling there. We'll put it that way. And then Tommy, of course, had a very bad game against Michigan State. No turnovers, mind you. If he'd had this game a couple of years ago in 2011, he was starting. If you told me he was gonna, go 14 for 33 or 14 for 37 or whatever it was, I would have predicted there were three picks that went along with that very inaccurate performance. But we had none, so there's a positive. Still, it's pretty frustrating to see our offense effectively be reduced to 50-50 balls. I recognize that you go and you trust your talented wide receivers to go up and fight for the football in those cases, but even so, it leaves a lot to be desired. And that's about where we're at right now, quite honestly. Defensively, though, I have to say that I was pretty pleased with the performance. It was the first time all year where it seems like the defense played with a lot of passion, maybe even relaxed, I would say, particularly in the fourth quarter once Big Lou started batting balls down and getting really excited. It seemed like the rest of the defense got jazzed up too. And honestly, it was the only time that we really heard any life from the crowd as well. Stephon Tuitt seems though he's rounding into shape, which is good to see, and Prince Shembo started to flash a little bit of the potential that he demonstrated last year. Our inside linebackers played quite well against Michigan State, but Michigan State is a team that largely is tailor-made for their style of play. We have big physical linebackers who right now, in contrast to Manti last year, don't do a particularly good job on the edge, but are quite good if you want to just run the ball up the gut. They're happy to go run fit and be physical and tackle ball carriers. That's something that they do exceptionally well. However, our safeties did not play great. They didn't play terribly against Michigan State, but they didn't play great, certainly. And our cornerbacks now, I think, are starting to become a more reliable unit. And some of that is due to the fact that they are not playing as much man coverage as they were at the beginning of the year. Looking at it again, this is just a cursory overview, and of course I saw this in the stadium, so it's I, and I did not rewatch it, did not have time to rewatch it, nor any desire to rewatch it, quite honestly. But it appears as though The team was playing a lot of man coverage early in the year and is now kind of transitioning to a little bit more zone matching what they did last year, which puts a little bit less responsibility on the corners and coverage. So maybe that's their comfort zone, maybe that's the explanation, but I was very, very pleased with the performance of our defense as a whole. Actually, that's two games in a row now where we've pretty much just absolutely shut down the opposing team's running game. Teams that can run the ball always win football games. You just control the line of scrimmage, control the clock, control the ball. If you can continue to stalemate teams at the line of scrimmage, as we've shown we're capable of, you got a pretty good shot at winning games. We'd like to clean up some stuff in the secondary, but I can't complain about our run defense at this point. Lewis Nix has been quite spectacular, and we should be excited to get Sheldon Day back this week. Special teams wise, it was a bit of a mixed bag. Let's put it this way. I don't think TJ has done a very good job either fielding punts or making decisions on whether to field punts. That's pretty obvious. He's, down some balls inside the 5-yard line for us. He's dropped a few other punts, has run himself into a couple situations where we ended up almost turning the ball over. I don't think it's hurt us yet, but it's gotten very close. Place kicking was good. I hate our kick return. We don't generate any sort of seam for Atkinson to run through, although I also think that Atkinson doesn't get up to top speed quickly enough. And that's about where we're at. Kyle Brinza, on the other hand, did a phenomenal job flipping field position a couple times last game, where he just hit some absolutely booming punts. Not even that they were just line drives that he hit hard, but I mean he hit them high and far. That kid absolutely has a leg. He is just really talented. I mean, honestly, has the body of safety. He's something like 6'3", 220 pounds. He just needs to get a lot more consistent in terms of kicking like that all the time, and maybe learning to take a little bit off of it as we get down closer to the end zone, or at least angling his kicks out of bounds or something of the sort to kind of help us from a field position perspective. So that's probably a wrap on Michigan State. Like I said, largely a pretty boring game. Kind of a chess match in many ways, but a very conservative chess match. And when you see Brian Kelly and Mark D'Antonio play each other, I guess that's kind of what you'd expect. And certainly we're very happy to come away with the win again when, on offense especially, we didn't play very good football all game long. Which brings us to our game coming up this weekend. And I'm going to give me a little bit of a break here by playing a song, and then I'll come back and we'll talk about Oklahoma and what to expect this weekend coming up. So I couldn't come up with anything better to play right now than this song. Nothing else that I could find really was about soon. And so I love the song. I don't know that it's going to translate particularly well to the radio, but hey, if it hooks you at all, maybe it'll open your ears to a larger world from a music standpoint. But this is going to be Sooner by My Bloody Valentine from their just absolutely masterful album, Loveless. This is probably my favorite album of all time. I can listen to it whenever. And this is a very good track off of it. Pretty much all of them are, but this is a very, very good one. So, enjoy. And that was Sooner by, or that was Soon, sorry, not Sooner, we're playing the Sooners. Soon by My Bloody Valentine from their album Loveless. Hope you enjoyed it. So yeah, like I said, we are playing the Oklahoma Sooners this weekend, a team that we are 9-1 against all time. Pretty shocking record, honestly, considering that I think conservatively they are at least a top 10 all-time program, arguably even a top 5 all-time program. And last year we went down and beat them in Norman when they were really looking to get after us a little bit down there, so that was quite a good result for us. Well, here's the hoping that they don't return the favor when they come up here. And they're certainly coming in more highly regarded than us. I'm a little surprised the line is only 5 or whatever it is, favoring Oklahoma at this point. Oklahoma is 3-0. They had a bye week last week, so they were pretty much preparing for us. I think they probably have been preparing for us all summer, honestly, given that, they played a bunch of nobodies, Tulsa, who else have they played here? I know that they beat up on West Virginia, teams that they handled pretty easily, and I wouldn't be surprised if they're very, very well prepared for this football game. But again, maybe not. Bob Stoops' teams have played kind of tight in games as of late. Big games as of late. So, on the road, especially against ranked opponents, they haven't been particularly good. So this is a game that's important for us in terms of moving the program forwards. This one could be the game where we take another big step in terms of establishing ourselves as a very solid program, not just a solid football team. Oklahoma right now is pretty talented, I would say. They've run the football very well this year, and they've passed it pretty effectively as well. They are a team that has been pretty balanced. They average about 270-ish rushing yards a game, 218 passing yards a game. They can put pressure on you in a number of ways. They like to run that Bob Stoops spread, so they do like to spread it out and run the football out of that spread formation. And they have a couple of wide receivers, one in particular, Jalen Saunders, who absolutely torched us last year, who are of the Jeremy Gallen from Michigan type, where you would expect that he and his compatriots will probably give us a little bit of difficulty. Sterling Shepard would be the other short, fast receiver. We don't do a good job covering these receivers, and they could hurt us a little bit. Their quarterback is going to be Blake Bell. Let you remember him last year as the Belldozer, the kind of fullback style quarterback who came in short yardage situations to just run over people at 250 pounds or whatever he was. So he's the full-time starter. He didn't start the year as that. Trevor Knight, redshirt freshman, started the year for the Sooners, and then they transitioned away from him into Blake Bell. And I think offensively, the goal here is pretty simple. We need to make Blake Bell not get to his first read. He needs to not be able to throw at his first read. He needs to go to a second read, so on and so forth. And if we're able to do that, we'll have success. If Blake Bell is largely just going to his first read, he is going to eviscerate us. And I don't worry about him in the same way I worry about Devin Gardner just scrambling forever and ever. He's a guy that's going to run on designed runs. He can keep the play alive a little bit, but he's not going to shred us in a Devin Gardner, Denard Robinson type style. Again, it's largely if he's able to avoid pressure long enough to put the ball in the hands of his playmaking wide receivers, that's at the edge of the field. That's really where we're going to struggle. Again, our linebackers haven't demonstrated a whole lot of ability to take care of anything on the edge of the field to this point. So I would say that we are we're It's going to be a good challenge for us, and it's going to be a good opportunity to see if we've developed since the Purdue game and since the Michigan game, and really honestly Temple too, where the weaknesses in our defense were exposed. I would expect to see a lot more of Jarrett Grace coming up this week than we did against Michigan in early in the year, or Purdue, or Temple. He's splitting time right now with Dan Fox at the mic position, with Carlo seemingly having taken over the will. Hopefully he starts to play faster too. Again, very good against run threats up the middle, but doesn't really run particularly well sideline to sideline. It would be exciting to see Jalen Smith out there getting after it. I think this is a good team for him to play against. They don't have a ton of bulk, and they're not going to run right at you. It would seem that Jalen Smith's speed would be a huge asset in this game. The other exciting thing I'm looking forward to from this defense is whether Max Redfield is going to play. Supposedly he's cracked the top four safeties, so he should be rotating into the game at least a little bit ahead of, I guess, Ilar Hardy. So that would be, Austin Collinsworth, Mathias Farley, and Elijah Shumate. And I don't know if I expect Shumate and Collinsworth to start the game, but I hope at some point to see Max Redfield. I know he's been on special teams, and he's looked like he can get downfield and run a little bit there. Defensively, it's going to be interesting. I think we know what we're going to get from our defense at this point, but offensively, I don't know how we're going to attack them. I know how I would like to attack them, but I don't know what the game plan is going to be. So, Oklahoma has a very talented secondary and loves to play the 3-3-5. And so that's kind of a gambler's defense, I guess, is the best way to probably characterize it. It's a defense that you blitz out of. And if they like to blitz to control the run, and sometimes the running back runs into the gap you're blitzing into, and sometimes they don't. They also aren't particularly stout up front. When we're talking about Michigan State, we're talking about a team whose strength is their defensive line and linebackers, also with a very good secondary. But it's a little bit tougher to move that line of scrimmage against a front that's as talented as Michigan State's. Probably a little different against Oklahoma's, who, in addition to having slightly fewer numbers in the field because of the 3-3-5, also doesn't have that much girth amongst the people that are there. I would love to come out and run the football against Oklahoma. We really haven't seen us do that in any game this year, so it's probably wishful thinking. I would like to believe we wanted to do that against Michigan, but we got away from it when we went three and out, two quick possessions, and gave up 10 points, and we're down 10 to nothing, and then had to throw to get back into the football game. I'd like to believe that's the case. I don't know if it is, unfortunately. I really would not. I don't want to throw into the strength of that defense, but given the way the games have gone, it seems like that's probably going to be the case. That said, Michigan's defense is probably the one that we've seen that's most similar to Oklahoma's, and it would be. Well, we'll see how we do against Michigan. I'm sorry, against Oklahoma, vis-a-vis how we did against Michigan, which was a lot of dropping passes, shooting ourselves in the foot. For the most part, we couldn't get much going all game long, and we went away from the run pretty early, despite the fact that we were hitting at least 5 yards a carry, perhaps more. So I'd like to see us commit to that, challenge our offensive linemen, and really start to establish ourselves as a power football team that's going to throw out of play action. I think that would help us and behoove us quite a bit going forwards. So as far as outcomes, though, oh, I'm sorry, I should mention a few more things on offense. In particular, supposedly Greg Bryan is being worked back into the rotation. More importantly, Malik Zaire has been mentioned in conjunction with this game. That's probably largely smoke and mirrors. I don't think that that's something that we're really going to use a whole lot, but it would be interesting to see that additional kind of level to the offense, add that additional dimension that may help us to get into the end zone ultimately. So I guess that's mostly what I'm looking for from an offensive or from a game perspective. Sorry, it's been a long week. I'm just absolutely fried. From an outcome standpoint, though, I think this game goes in one of two ways. Either Oklahoma kills us, meaning they come out, we can't do like Bell again, gets his first read, is getting the ball to Jalen Saunders among others, and they just eviscerate our defense and we can't keep up in a track meet. So they blow us off the field. Or Blake Bell really struggles, isn't able to get the ball to his first read. Gets a little rattled as a result. They don't rush the ball effectively, and we play a pretty conservative ball control game, trying to keep the game close and then ultimately salt it away at the end. So I think it's either going to be a close Irish win or an Oklahoma blowout. I'm going to go ahead and predict that it's going to be a 34-17 Oklahoma win, unfortunately. I thought we were going to go 10-2 at the beginning of the year, which means we lose a game about once a month. And I didn't think Oklahoma was going to be a huge deal at the beginning of the year. I'm sorry, 10-2 would mean we lose slightly less than once a month. But I didn't think the defense would be this poor, honestly, and I thought the offense would put more points up on the board. So now we look more like an 8-4, 9-3 team. Truthfully, could get to 10-2. It depends on how this game goes. But now I'm thinking we'll probably look like a team that's going to lose a game in September, a game in October, and well, hopefully not a game in November because the schedule's kind of weak, but Yeah, Stanford, I suppose, would be the prime candidate there. And this looks, unfortunately, like a game that we very well could lose. We're in a tough stretch of our schedule. Hopefully, we're not too banged up. Again, getting Sheldon Day back, that's a big deal. But we are we're struggling a little bit right now, and we really need another win to pick us up, get some positive momentum rolling, and to get into the final part of the season. After the Arizona State game, we'll get a nice bye at the midway point, and then we can hopefully put it together and be a really good football team in November and in our bowl game. So that's where we sit. Unfortunately, predicting my first Irish loss of the season, but I guess I'm hedging a little bit. I don't want to be too disappointed by the outcome. And thanks for listening. Hope you enjoyed it. Hope you learned something. And I'm going to play out on a song by the Beta Band from their EP, the three EPs, I guess. And this song is going to be called, is not going to be called, it is called Dry the Rain. It starts a little slowly, starts to pick up towards the end of it. Again, there is a meaning to this song here. It's going to be okay. It's going to be all right. It's going to be okay. Those are some of the lyrics to the song. We're going to get through this. I'm kind of looking at this more as a rebuilding year to some extent, getting some younger kids some experience, and then rolling into next year with Everett and starting to click a little bit. So, again, thanks for listening, and enjoy the football game. Go Irish!
Brown boots in the corner by the eye.